Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I'm with Wayne Sermon of the band Imagine Dragons. Man, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
The man, Grammy winner, multi-platinum artist.
All that,
wow. And more. And player, awesome player of many great guitars.
Yes.
Let's talk about this bad boy.
Yeah, this is my kind of go-to guitar right now. It's my favorite of the bunch. It's sort of, I guess I'm kind of going in reverse. Like, I asked, there's this company in Iowa, in Des Moines, called Built, B-I-L-T, that I love. Just a couple guys, very, like, kind of have that, like, small town touch to their guitars that I really like. Each one's handmade, and they do such a great job. I can't recommend them enough. But so I got hip to their company, and I said, hey, I want the guitar to be gold. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the first one I ever got was this one. Oops, hooked on something there.
Yep.
Shame.
We'll fix that all in post.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so this is the first one. It's like, it's gold. I was like, okay, cool. And then, like, I got to thinking more and more about it, and, like, there's sort of a range. As you can see, like, the timeline, like, this was, like, the next one that they built me, which is
golder.
Gold.
Yeah.
So, anyway, long story short, we ended up with, like, the entire thing being gold, which is kind of what I wanted. I always wanted that in the guitar.
There is none more gold.
Yeah, I've never seen a guitar like this. I mean,
how do they do that finish, man? Did Built actually do the finish?
So Built did everything, and they sent it to some guy. And there's one guy that does it. I think he might be in L.A. I'm not sure where he's at, but, like, he's the guy who makes, like, Beyonce's mics gold.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's, like, the guy that plates things gold. Like, there's one guy that does it
right.
The best. So
yeah.
They sent it to him. He'd never done a guitar before. And I thought I did a great job. Probably took forever to do, but
I love fingerboard, it. Fingerboard, does it feel
every
weird?
Every bit of it. It feels like a guitar. Honestly, it's not heavier than a normal guitar. It sounds great. It's made of wood, obviously.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, sounds like an awesome guitar.
Yeah.
It's got awesome, I think they're Twangmaster, Lindy Fralin Twangmasters, which sound really cool. I kind of wanted something in between a humbucker and a single coil.
Sure.
This has a lot of that awesome high end that I like with the Vox amps.
Right.
The chime, it really keeps the chime intact. So.
Man, we were listening during sound check, and your rig is killing.
Thank
man.
You.
It sounds great.
Yeah, I'm 31 years old, and I've been chasing tone since I was 12. So
yeah.
Sometimes it takes a long time to find. I really feel like now for the first time I'm completely 100% satisfied with my rig, which is like a good moment for any guitar player, whether it's when they're 15 and it's three pedals or one pedal or no pedals. For me, it's a little ridiculous.
Right. But, if you're not happy with that.
Then I'm an idiot.
Then you.
I agree. Yeah. I'm very happy. And it's gotten to the point now where I'm so spoiled I don't have to push my own buttons anymore. It's all controlled through a digital performer, and the whole show runs on, the lights run on it, my pedal board runs on it, so.
But with the expression pedals, you're dialing in for the room.
Wet and dry, for the room, exactly, and I have the control if I want it. It's not like anything's automatic. Sometimes I'll push some buttons that are a little bit different than it's on the set list, but.
Cool. Well, that's an awesome guitar.
Yeah, I love it.
I love the way they put that kind of jazz mastery.
Exactly. Mastery bridge. And then it's kind of a Frankenstein. Like, it's kind of got the Starcaster.
Right.
Kind of Starcaster headstock. And it's a little bit of everything, which I like. So I love it. Sounds great, too.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
So would you consider that, like, number one right now?
I would say so. I play that maybe more than any other.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, do this many switched?
Yes. So this is a really awesome one. It's got a bunch of stuff. So it's kind of cool the way they did it. They actually run power through, I don't know if Shane talked to you about this, but we're actually running power. So there's basically three pedals in here. So I'm running power through, I don't know, what is it called?
The Volto.
So it actually sends power through a stereo jack. This is actually stereo.
Wow.
The one side is the guitar signal, traditional, you know, regular guitar signal. The other side is power for all of the effects on board, which is pretty genius, I think. So
totally.
So I got a fuzz, or like a little bit like a fuzz factory, like a ZVX fuzz, like a fuzz factory sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Self-oscillating.
Cool.
Kill switches.
Cool.
A delay and a sustain.
Oh, give the detail on these kill switches.
Yeah. Like, so they put two kill switches.
Yeah. Satisfied with one.
As if one wasn't enough. I gotta be able to kill things multiple ways.
Right.
The red one is actually before the delay, which is it's a cool carbon copy delay that they basically stuffed into a guitar.
Wow.
And then this one is after the delay, so I can still have those delays kind of running over. So Yeah, a little bit of, it's kind of a smorgasbord, and it's all, I guess it's, you can also, this switch is, I don't use this, but it splits into single coil, but I don't, I always keep a humbucker, so.
How great, and what are these pickups?
So I believe this is a Sur, which
model?
SSV Plus.
Yeah.
And it's just this sustainer pickup, oh, the traditional.
Man, that's a kitchen sink. That's
got it all. Yeah, it kind of is. And I believe it or not, I use pretty much all of it at one point or another.
It's great.
In a sense.
Yeah, I heard during sound check, was the delay from that?
Yeah, yeah. And I use the sustainer a lot too. So
yeah, that's so cool.
It's got a cool, first order harmonics, second order harmonics, and the fundamental frequency. So it's
awesome.
I get quite a bit of use out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, what's next in the bag of tricks?
What do you want to see? There's an awesome baritone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I use this
Show
on
me
a
that
song
bad
called
boy.
Friction. I'm only using it on one track right now, but it got the gold treatment too.
It is huge.
And it's big and it's heavy and it's awesome. 27 and a half or in scale length. It's awesome. It sounds really beefy. I actually tune it down super low to A, I think, right? So,
just backing up a little bit.
Yeah.
What string gauge are you running on your standard tunings?
Right now, I'm running 11 to 52s on pretty much everything except for the Barry. These are obviously a little thicker, but yeah, I'm doing 11s now. I think that started mostly from, I play a lot of jazz masters early on, and those need thicker strings to kind of to hang. You can't get away with doing 9s or 10s on jazz masters usually. So I just kind of got used to it, and now that the tour is halfway over, and you kind of can start a tour maybe on 9s or 10s and move up.
Man, you'd have to have hands of steel to to bend those bad boys.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I go back to 9s or 10s now, and it feels sort of flimsy and strange to me now. So I can't really hang with 9s or 10s anymore, which is a little weird for me. I used to do 9s and 10s all the time, but now anything lower than 11, it feels a little strange to me.
It's got to help the intonation too.
Like I think so, especially on the Les Pauls, on the shorter scale length guitars.
Yeah.
I think it helps get a little bit of beefiness in there.
Sure. Okay, so, and when you're feeling kind of acoustic-y,
yeah,
you're right over here.
Yes, absolutely. There's a song I play called It's Time that I do the mandolin part on.
Cool.
And so this is what I play. It sounds awesome. It feels great. No, I have no issues, no problems with it at all.
Great.
Yeah.
And that's just the standard Epiphone?
Standard Epiphone, standard everything. Yeah. I'm not a great mandolin player. I don't pretend to be a great mandolin player, but I happen to play one on a record, so now I have to play it every night.
Yeah.
I never thought that would be, my lot in life. But
there it is.
It's a good lot.
Awesome. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Then I also do a few acoustic songs.
Yeah, we heard, man, that your acoustic rig sounded killer.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. The LR Bags pickup, I'm a believer in now. This is the first tour I've started using it, and I always would do, in guitar pickups.
Yeah.
Because I thought that always sounded best, but man, I'm really impressed with this. What is it, M1?
Yeah.
The active M1.
Yeah,
it sounds awesome. And the guitars are great, too. I'm not the biggest guy in the world, so I don't know, the big 45s.
Right, J200s.
Yeah, the 200s don't really do well with me.
So what is that model number?
It's a, what is this?
LG2.
Yeah. Yeah, so LG2. I think it's sort of like, it's a little bit like a, I don't know, like a 00 type of a thing, or maybe a 00 type of a thing, which is what I always like.
Yeah.
So it definitely, I can maneuver it and run around stage. It's not like this big bulky thing where it's like I'm playing like mariachi music.
Yeah,
So small.
Right.
So it fits me and it also sounds amazing. I think I have an old Guild that this reminds me of, which I like. I don't take the Guild out because it's so old. So
sure.
This is a really good replacement for that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, man, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so much.
And thanks so much for taking time to show us your awesome guitars.
Anytime. This is what I love to do. It's the greatest job in the world.
Yeah, right. Hey, now we're with Shane Johnson, the tech for Imagine Dragons. Shane, man, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
Cutting a little time out of your day, out of your very busy day.
No problem at all.
Tell us about you built this rig.
Yeah. Basically, Wayne, when they did the album, he used a couple of old Vox AC30s and then ran them through a series of eventide processors and did a wet-dry-wet mix in the studio. And
cool.
He wanted to recreate that live. Could have done with a Fractal or a Kemper or something like that, but... this looks a lot cooler.
Yeah, and so. I mean, good for you, man. I like seeing amps. I like hearing amps. That's cool. Yeah.
So it's a little nerve-wracking. I mean, running with 50-year-old amps on the road, but you know,
right?
They sound phenomenal, and I mean, the Vox stuff is just killing it. So
perfect. Yeah. Well, let's hear about the amps. What you're running exactly?
Basically, what we've got is we just got this guy over here. It's a 64 AC30 that we had a top boost put in from Plexi Palace. They're one of the few companies that actually do a dead-on recreation of a top boost circuit.
Cool.
Actually, we have that in three of our AC30s.
Wow.
So there's a 64. That's our raw center tone. So all the drives and the guitar tone essentially goes through that. So the signal hits the pedals, drives the amp. The amps are just on the verge of breakup. They're real clean, but if he digs in super hard, it will just crunch ever so slightly. So. So that's the center amp, and that's doing the majority of the work. And then that runs through a Vox 212 hand-wired with Celestian Blues in it.
And just for our listeners, watchers, whatever, originally this was a combo.
Yes, correct.
And you put it in a new box.
Yeah, North Coast Music makes head boxes that you can take your combo if you've got a vintage combo and you don't want to, like, thrash the cabinet on the road. You just... $100, pop it in a head box, and you're good to go. And you can leave the original one at home and not thrash it.
Very cool.
So that's the dry center. And then the signal splits off via this sound sculpture switchblade here. And that does all my routing. And it sends all the drive signal that come from the pedals, then go to one of the three Eventide processors that we're using for either time-based delays, reverbs, basically. Delays and reverbs is what Eventide does. I mean,
sure.
And harmonizing.
Right.
So, and that's actually, the 7600 is actually the unit he used in the studio.
Oh, cool.
So we took those patches right off the ones he used in the studio, put them into the live rig. And then the signal splits out of that stereo and then goes through two more Vox AC30s, a 64 and a 67.
Here and here?
Yeah, the bottom one and the top one. And then that goes to two more hand-wired 212 cabinets.
Wow.
Left and right mix. So.
And what are you running in those cabinets?
Oh, they're all Celestian Blues.
Wow.
Across the board. So.
That's great.
So that's, I mean, 99.9% of the tone is basically this guy and then those two outside AC30s that are doing, they're doing all the heavy lifting.
And you can't see the cabs, but they're under the under the stage right now. And we heard during soundcheck, you're like moving some air. They're loud.
We tried the Palmers, and they're great, great product. Works for a lot of people. Just in our instance, it did not work. And you put those cabinets in an isolation box, and yeah, it makes everybody around them happier. But there was just something that it wasn't moving.
Right.
It wasn't moving the air that he wanted to hear. So.
Yeah.
We're running them loud and proud and pissing off everybody around the stage. So
They sounded killer,
yeah.
Man. And so this and this are backups?
We actually have three more AC30s. The hand wireds, we're using the hand wireds as our backups and sometimes our primaries. It's the closest thing that you can get to the old school.
Sure.
AC. I mean, they sound brilliant. So. And then, actually, the Freedman, there's two songs where he needed a Marshall.
Yeah.
So, and Voxes do 99% of it, but they just don't do the Marshall RAR.
Right.
So, via the switchblade, I can hit a patch, and it sends the signal to the Freedman. So he can hit one patch, and all of a sudden, the Freedman then is running through the 65 amps whiskey cabinet with Heritage 30s.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah, I think that was like the main offender in very loud.
It's
peeling paint.
Yeah, it's angry.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it that is kind. It you know, don't put a box of kittens next to it because it'll obliterate them. But no, the Freedman small. It's a Freedman small box 50. It's a 50 watt Marshall. I mean, everything that Freedman does is brilliant. And we played through a bunch of them. But for the Marshall thing, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know,
that's killer, man. Okay, so just traveling with a bunch of vintage AC30s in different cabs.
There's drawers of tubes everywhere around here.
Oh, man, you were saying how often you change tubes?
This is probably gonna piss off some of your readers, but I change them every 6 to 8 shows, somewhere in that ballpark. They get new tubes.
My God, man.
So yeah, I mean,
I've got amps with tubes in them for 6 to 8 years.
Yeah, me too. But you know, the thing is, and when I change them, and I'm only changing the output tubes, I'm just changing the EL84s. They sound great. They, you know, and they would be great for almost everybody out there. And honestly, Wayne probably didn't even notice that they were starting to, like, I could just hear that a little bit of tick. That's like almost like the tubes were smoothing out where people actually want them.
Yeah.
You know, but he likes that real strong attack off the pick. Like he uses these Dunlop picks a la Edge style with the grip on them, the 50th anniversary Dunlop picks. And he puts them a la Edge style and kind of rakes a string with that grip. So once I hear that start to smooth out, then I kind of know that the 84s need to be changed out. So,
That's something. So you miss those little nuances without the fresh tubes.
Yeah. So.
Wow, what a killer rig. Well, okay, so amps are unbelievable, very Beatly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk your controllers and any other pedals you're rolling.
Okay. Basically, in the rack, there's three drawers in the rack. There's all of our drives. The Klon we use on a few tunes.
And that's the real deal.
That's the real deal Klon. I mean, he bought it before. They were still expensive, but they weren't stupid expensive.
Yeah.
It sounds great through the AC30s, and we use it for a couple things. But probably the drive that he uses all the time, this is the Analog Mankinga Tone.
Really?
With the high gain red side is the one we order.
Huh.
We actually ordered this. You can order it in like a four cable method, so you can put each pedal into a loop. So you can put each side of it into a loop. So he can then literally select which side of the King of Tone he wants from his controller.
Wow.
And then we use the Paul Cochran Timmy back there.
Yeah.
And right now this is our pedal du jour spot. So it could be, who knows what goes in there, but it's usually a drive pedal, some sort of treble booster. There's a whole drawer of pedals that we, you know, it's Tuesday, let's change it.
So what's rolling right now?
This is from a company called Ion. It's when you couldn't get the Klons or the KTRs or the Archers or whatever, who's ever making the Klon pedal. This guy in Iowa, Ion Electronics, he makes a brilliant compressor that we usually use. We've got it on one of our flyboards, but he made this Klon clone, essentially. And it, you know, right now that's in there basically as a placeholder for the next pedal.
Cool.
So,
This
is the kitchen sink pedal. When he throws all the drives on, and the amps are screaming, I put on a gate, the ISP decimator, just to shut it up.
So only then?
Only then will I put that on there.
Okay.
So,
And pedal power, Voodoo Labs, running it.
Yeah, I mean,
standard of the industry.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
The second drawer down is, this is everything that is pre-volume pedal. So there's the Super Ego from Electro Harmonix with a Moleco vibrato in the effects loop. So
yeah,
that's only in the effects loop of that. So when he hits those organy kind of keyboard patches, it kind of it gives it that swirl.
Cool.
We're using the Ego compressor from Wampler right now. Love the blend control, the tone. Adds this nice, and it's quiet. That's brilliant. This is another pedal du jour spot. That's the reason it's not Velcroed down. There's usually a ZVEX Fuzz Factory in there. He needed it to record in the room the other day, a half an hour before the gig, so I needed to throw a pedal in there. But this is actually, that's another placeholder pedal. The Voodoo Labs Micro Vibe and then the EH Pog. And those are all run through a RJM Mini FX Gizmo.
Wow.
There.
Wow, cool.
So, and then the last drawer of silliness is this guy. And basically all it is the Eventide H9 that we use for the black hole effect. It's brilliant in there. The spring reverb. And
was that the one that's giving that kind of infinite verby thing underneath?
Yeah,
that's great.
And then if he wants, the cool thing about it is if he wants to change it, I have it Bluetooth to my iPad. So if he wants to like change a parameter on it, I can just go up there and I'm like, what do you want? And we'll change it and save it. So, in our flyboard, we actually have three of those and it's doing the work of these two guys. So,
how cool.
And it's Bluetooth. So, you know, but.
And then the
Digitech Whammy. Yeah. And that's just controlled MIDI via this guy, one of the other Mission Audio control pedals here.
Oh, great. And For the acoustic stuff?
Right. Acoustic wireless comes in. We run a Line 6 M9 on the mandolin just for a delay. We set the delay. So literally we're using this for a delay right now. It's ridiculous to have that much processing for a mandolin delay for one song, but it works great.
Room to build.
And we actually have 6 of these because this was his delay pedal. I mean, this was his effect for years. I mean, that's, and he loves them. So, and we still have a bunch floating around, and who knows, that one may end up back in the rig again. But, and then we use the Fishman Spectrums for both of our DIs, for our Mando and our acoustic.
Yep. Yeah, the acoustic instruments sounded amazing, man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you plug into it with their imaging process. It's excellent.
Yeah. Yep. And one last thing, I'm a bit out of order, but this is your controller.
Yeah, the RJM Mastermind. Basically, yeah, the way we set it up is, you know, we have all the presets for the songs, and then our click track actually sends MIDI to this and changes the patches from each section of the song.
Wow, so no tap tempo, you're just...
Yeah, all the tempos are set via the beats per minute, so in the Eventide. So I went in and actually created a patch based upon the beats per minute. And so if you need a dotted eighth, it's so many milliseconds. If you need a quarter note, it's so many milliseconds.
Wow.
You just put them in and it's done. So the tap thing is out, don't need to do it. And then plus... when it goes from the bridge to the chorus to the verse or whatever like that, it just changes the patch form. So he doesn't have to do that.
No way. So are you controlling the pedal board?
Nope. It's still up there. The Trax rig with the click track is controlling the pedal board.
Wow.
So, and then he's a control freak and he's a self-admitted control freak.
Yeah.
And still likes to blend in his delays and stuff. And so that's what the... this guy does here. That just controls the volume of the two outside amps, and that just, so if he wants complete dry, just rolls down the volume of the two amps, and that only that center amp is working.
Well, you know, that really makes sense, because even if you have everything in sync, every room's going to sound a little different, and you can control it right there. That really makes sense.
And then the red controller there again just controls the Digitech Whammy,
and
that's the overall volume, so he can so if he wants to do some like synth patch sounds, he can actually hit that Super Ego from Electro Harmonix, hit the chord, and then swell into it and do it that way.
And right here, this is...
That is a... all that box does is just convert Ethernet to MIDI, so that we run an Ethernet cable from our rig up to the pedal board underneath the stage, and then it converts it to MIDI, and then that does the switching.
Man, I can't believe you made all this.
I didn't. I didn't make it. I just bolted it together. Like our tracks guy made that and yelled at me on the phone to figure out how to make it work. And but you know, it's.
I mean, it's like building a boat in your garage. You know,
the information's there. I mean, you know, this is, you know, if you study, you know, go to Huge Racks Inc., the website, you know, where all the nerds hang out and build their 1980s, you know, Eddie Van Halen rigs stuff like that. You know, there's just a wealth of information out there, and you know, that's. But he wanted a certain thing that he did in the studio. He wanted to recreate that live, and that's what we tried to do.
Yeah, that is so cool that you're doing that. I mean, like it's like I said, a really refreshing change from a common. Thing.
And this is just the backup rig. We actually just use a Pod 2.0, and if that goes down, we switch to this.
Right. Okay, now we're with Ben McKee, bassist for Imagine Dragons. Man, Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely. So, and man, you've been sound checking, touring, going nonstop.
Yeah.
Show's coming up quick for another sold out show. And I think the capacity is like 15,000 tonight, which. Bodes well.
Yeah, it should be a great time once we get out there. It's crazy every night, you know. Something wrong will happen, and we'll just figure out how to roll with it, and it'll be fun.
Awesome. Hey, man, tell me about this amazing bass.
Yeah, this is a bass that Chris Stambaugh, a luthier in New Hampshire, actually built for me. It's sort of a Tele bass. It's actually a 33-inch scale.
Oh, cool.
And then my friend Mary Brown, she did some wood burning on this. These are ginkgo leaves here. And on the back, there are some birds flying there. You know, the Tyler Robinson Foundation is an organization that we, you know, we founded as a band to help pay for the unforeseen costs of cancer, and our symbol is a bird. So, yeah, wow. She worked that in there for me.
Wow, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's a pretty special base for me.
Yeah, it really is. Can we get one more look at that back? The way those birds in flight like that? It's awesome. Oh, it's so cool. And three pickups.
Yeah, three pickups. Although, honestly, I usually just use this pickup. I contacted Chris. He built me a number of basses. He built the bass that I used for our Grammys performance. He also built a bass for me back in college. I've known him for a long time. Yeah. But I contacted him. I wanted a Tele bass just with one pickup, just a volume knob.
Yeah.
And he happened to have this almost all the way built. This was going to be his first try at doing a production bass. He'd only done custom basses, total custom orders. And he built two of these, and I bought this one, and then I bought the other one from him, and never gave him the chance to put it into production, really.
Oh, that's great.
I just kind of bought the whole idea off of him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, let's look at the next on the chopping block.
This is a Sadowski jazz bass here. It's actually strung B-E-A-D. The new album, we did a lot of stuff that just kind of had a bit lower, more rocky tone to it. And I don't like playing a five string. I'm a small guy, and also there's something about a five string that just, you know, people have a certain connotation about it, and I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man, I want to see four.
I don't want to be that dude.
Yeah.
With
a bass neck that looks like an ironing board with, you know, six strings or seven.
Yeah, it's not exactly my style, but, you know, more power to whoever needs the fanned frets and 12 strings.
Right, right. There's a place.
Yeah, I actually started playing Sadowski basses. We were going into the studio with Hans Zimmer to work on the music for the Transformers movie.
Oh, cool.
And I hadn't played basses. I mean, I'd played basses with Active Electronics, but I hadn't really been into it for a long time. But for the direction we were going for Transformers, I really felt like I wanted that active jazz tone. And Sadowski is just kind of the name you think of when you think of jazz basses. I called Roger Sadowski. I just called and told him that I was trying to get a bass to do this session the next day, and he managed to connect me with a bass, and I've been in love with those basses ever since. I had him build this one for me shortly after that.
Beautiful. Is that an ash body?
Yeah, it's an ash body. It's great, and it's pretty light too. His basses are really light and really ergonomic. They're great on stage, and I can play them night after night. They sound great, and I couldn't be happier.
Cool.
Yeah.
And another one in the lineup.
Yeah. This is my
the not so light.
Yeah, my Lull Thunderbird. I love this bass. It just feels right. It's packed passive electronics, which you know, I was playing for a long time. I don't know. It's a beast.
Yeah.
You know, it's long. It's sort of uncomfortable. It's really heavy. Makes me feel like a badass. I don't know what to say. I love this bass.
That's like foot on the monitor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, matte white finish with the white pickguard. I just love the look of the bass. I love the feel of the bass. Yeah, it balances pretty well, actually, for being the Thunderbird. If you compare it to a Gibson, you know, this thing is
right.
quite a bit more comfortable.
That's great. And standard tuning on that one?
No, this is B-E-A-D also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I have another Sadowski, or actually I have another Sadowski and another Lull that I switch out that are each tuned down a half step.
Okay. Well, man, that is awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. We're going to talk to your tech about the rest of your rig, but thanks a million, man.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're in bass world. Hit it, man. You built this rig as well.
Yeah, I built this rig. Actually, Kevin Neal, who's our bass tech on this side of the stage, takes care of it now, but I put it together before this tour. Right before the tour, and basically he had a pedal board with just a few pedals on it and just got sick of everything changing from show to show to show with his drives. And what we did is I again just put them in a drawer, We're using our RJM mini effects gizmo back there. And the only thing that we've really got in here is we're just using a Germanium Bassmaster from Maleco, a Brimstone crossover distortion, which is kind of it's a cool pedal. It's a small little company out in Northern California. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to overdrive the lows different than the highs. So you can keep, it actually has a crossover in it, so you can keep the lows clean and then grind up the highs. It's
really
a brilliant sounding overdrive for bass. It sounds awesome on guitar too. Super cool little company. And then the bass micro synth from EH. And then when he switches from his passive basses to his active basses, or vice versa, active basses to passive basses, we have an exotic EP booster that just puts a little bit of volume back into it so we can match out the passive basses with the active basses.
That's great. So you can switch it up, get the tone he wants, but not change his volume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing in there is an RJM Y-Knot, and it's a MIDI-controlled Y-switch. So he has a tuner button on this. He hits the tuner button.
Few people in TV land to see. So, okay,
he hits the tuner button and it kills the signal to everything here and just sends it to this Boss tuner pedal on the board, and so that way he can tune. And we have no signal then running from the rack to the stage. So it just keeps everything nice and clean.
That's great, man. And yeah, you've programmed these where they will actually tell you which bass.
Yeah. So he's got, if he looks down, he's playing his lull basses, his Mike lull basses, or any of his passive basses. It just says lull on it. He can hit that, and all it does is just turn on his booster, so that way it evens it out.
That's great.
And then, yeah, then just individual. Yeah, it's real straight ahead. And we're using the, it comes out of there. Signal goes into an Avalon U5 tube DI. The through out of there then goes into either one of two matchless Thunderman heads, which are kind of his beefy version or take on in classic Ampeg tones. And the amps just kill. And we've main one and a backup, and then they go through a Bergantino 412 cabinet.
Huh.
That's it, super simple.
Well, that's great. One head, one cab.
Like a pedal or two, and
yeah,
that's it, yeah.
Man, killer rig.
Yep, straight ahead.
Well, Shane, thanks, man. These are such impressive rigs. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your incredibly busy schedule.
No problem.
Walk us through it. So safe travels.
Appreciate you, sir.
Yep. This is John Mollinger with Premier Guitar. Till next time.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.